Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Ford Berry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. So today, I'm super excited to have my friend and fellow professional organizer, Lori Palau, on the show with me. If you love organizing, this is the episode for you because you know I love talking to other organizers, and we, Lori and I, can talk about this stuff all day long. So welcome to the show, Lori.
It is so good to be here. I love chatting with you. So this is going to be fun episode. Yeah.
So exciting. And it's going to be a new spin on organizing. So stay tuned. Yeah. If you think you know everything about organizing, you don't, because we've been doing this a long time and we're still learning. So I want to go ahead and just let everybody know that Lori has been doing this for a very long time, just like me. She's the founder of Simply Be Organized. She is the best-selling author of the book Hot Mess, A Practical Guide to Getting Organized. And she's also a fellow podcast host. She hosts the show The Organized Life podcast. So girl, you just talk my language. We do all the things.
This is going to be fun. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. It's fun. I love talking organizing, but I love talking about just helping people improve relationships, because one of the biggest things that I think one of the reasons why I got into this, and I didn't even know that I had the language to articulate it at the time, was I just saw what clutter and disorganization was robbing from people.
Yes.
So it was more about like, how can we have like less, let our stuff have less power over our lives? Because I was seeing people's feeling stressed or anxious or embarrassed or fill in the blank, all these like negative things as a result of being cluttered or disorganized. And the byproduct was a beautiful organized space, perhaps, but that really wasn't the driver. I mean, for some people it is. And again, yeah, there's no shame in that game. If you're just like, hey, I want a Pinterest-worthy pantry, like that's fine. But my reason for kind of rolling up my sleeves to get into this industry in the first place wasn't about that. That was just like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you feel the same way, because it's like, we've talked about this. It's like mission-driven work. It is, you know?
That's why I love you so much, because, you know, I feel like when people hear professional organizer, they're thinking, you know, Pinterest perfect homes. They're thinking like what they see on these shows on Netflix, that they go in, they make it perfect. They don't really get to the root cause on the, you know, TV shows, or the big why behind why a professional organizer does what she does. And I don't know if all organizers have their own big why, but for you and me, it's very similar. It has nothing to do with actually organizing the space. Like, we can do that all day long. It's helping people become happier and, you know, reaching their full potential, really. So, 100%. And just for the listener's sake, tell everybody how long you've been doing this.
Like 150 years, it seems like. I started my business in 2009. And I will say, I don't know what your listener demographic is, if it's only people that need organizing, but I would also suspect, like me, you've got other women entrepreneurs that listen to the show. Maybe they're professional organizers. Maybe they're just interested in this industry. So I like to just put this disclaimer out there for anybody who might be on the cusp of thinking, I really am considering maybe doing this. I started my business at the height of the recession in 2008, 2009. So again, like, our economy was in the dumpster fire. Like, it was a nightmare. When you think about it on paper, it was not the ideal time to start what one would call a luxury business, you know, like with something that people wanted, but it's like hiring a personal trainer, right? We all want one, or a personal chef, but not everybody can afford it. And it wasn't as mainstream. And I just saw this need and decided to start it. So I use this cautionary tale for anybody that's listening out there that might be thinking, hey, this is something I might want to do, or can I really make money doing this? This is something, like, if you feel a calling to do this, and this is something that you feel is a gift that you have, like, go for it, without whatever that looks like for you, whether it's a part-time side hustle, something that you're slowly just starting to build as your kids are out of preschool and now, like, going back into school. Like, if this is something that you're like, I really, like, get excited about this kind of stuff, I encourage you to lean into that. And so I always, as I tell my story, just like to put that out there for people. But yeah, so I started back then, and I've seen, as you have, the industry change and grow and evolve since that time. And in a lot of ways, I think it's really amazing because it's shown this spotlight on our industry. So it isn't just something that is for the super elite or hoarders. Like, that was kind of what it was when we started. Like, Peter Walsh was like the guy.
He was the guy.
If anybody remembers, and I'm dating myself, he was on Oprah. Yeah. And other than that, or you were like, oh, are you a hoarder? So it was like one of those two things. And I was like, no, I'm just trying to help busy moms like myself. Like, that was truly like what my lane was. And now there's such a spectrum of people who do organizing that help with move management or help with downsizing or help with whatever it is. And I think it's really important to just kind of know who you are in this business. And if you're listening out there and you want to hire a professional organizer, I think it's helpful to kind of know, like, what your own goals are. You know, are you somebody that's like, you know what, I don't care if I have like matching bins in my, I just want to be able to find my keys. Like, if that's your thing, that's fine. Or if you're like, no, I really want that. Like, I want to be able to ooh and ah, and I want to look like I came out of a page of the Container Store's, you know, catalog, that's okay too. Just kind of know, have an idea of like what your own goals are, and then being able to communicate that. And that's so much of the work that I've been doing, is really helping to give that language around people understanding, because they know how clutter makes them feel, but they don't know how to put that into words.
Yes, so true. And I think, for just to expand on the, if there's a person listening, getting into this business or already in this business, be your true authentic self as an organizer. Do not look at other organizers to see how they're doing things, because you're created for a specific way to organize, and then you will attract those specific clients that need you. And like you said, you've always been kind of focused on the busy woman, the busy mom. Same for me. You know, I don't specialize in hoarders. I'm not really, you know, I know organizers that really specialize in like helping, the older, you know, elderly. It's just like, I always loved working with those busy moms too. And I think that there's a piece of the pie for every single organizer out there. So just, I really want to encourage everybody watching or listening to stay in your lane. Like, what, however you organize is your thing. That's your jam. Own it. You know what I mean? Cause we're all a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that.
It's so funny when you say that about Peter. I when I tell my story all the time about wanting to become a professional organizer, I literally say I did not know any other professional organizers except Peter and Julie Morgenstern.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I did not know that you said that, but yes, they were the only people. When I first started reading when I first started researching how to start a business, Julie Morgenstern's books were like my, you know, my Bible. Yeah. They were the go-to. And it's funny because, again, we didn't have, dating myself, we didn't even have Pinterest and Instagram to look to. Like, there wasn't, it was just totally different.
We didn't even have social media, did we?
Facebook was around. Facebook was around, but it was like different. They didn't have Facebook groups.
Yeah,
they didn't
have not like the imagery.
No. It was totally different. And, you know, I was just a fly by the see that's kind of person. And, you know, it's part of just who I am. And I think in some ways it really helped me, because I wasn't concerned like what my neighbor was doing or what so-and-so was doing. Like, I was just trying to figure out what works for me in the season of life that I am, with what's going on, and made mistakes along the way, like everybody does. And you learn from them and you refine and tweak, and you know, here you are. And I feel so grateful to be able to still be standing and after all these years, and see how my my business has pivoted, but also grown and just evolved in the depth of how I can help people. And that just, I think, comes with time.
Such a fun ride. Like, who knew when we first started this that we could not just like start a side hustle, but an entire career based on something that we love? Do you feel like you were always good at organizing, like even as a child?
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, speaking about like Oprah, going back to those days, I will remember, because I used to come home from school and I would like watch General Hospital and I watch Oprah. Had a show, an episode that was talking about like following your passion, and I was like, I'm not really passionate about anything. Like, I don't excel at like one specific thing. Like, I wasn't overly talented with art, or I wasn't a great athlete. Like, I was fine. I was mediocre across the board, but I was like, what is that? Like, I didn't know what that was. And, you know, fast forward, I was like, I'm kind of good at this. This is like a natural thing that I'm good at. And, you know, I didn't start my business until, like I said, I had another career before this, mm-hmm. And had two kids, and it just, the timing was right. But yeah, it was nothing that I would have ever, you didn't go to school for this. Like, I didn't go to school to be a professional organizer. I didn't even have like entrepreneurial classes. Like, now you go to school to be entrepreneur, like learn how to be an entrepreneur. Like, that wasn't even a thing. You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing how we kind of end up here. And
we were in the school of life, Lori. That's what we were doing.
That's it. That is it.
Yeah.
The school of trial and error.
Certification and all this fancy stuff. We were like, get in the field and start doing it and learn as you go.
And I think I'm not discrediting any types of courses or certifications for anything in industry, but I will say, specifically in this particular industry, and I'm not talking about the extremes. Again, I'm not talking about people that have like clinical disorders that you need some sort of schooling. I'm talking about the mainstream people. Understanding human nature, having a level of emotional intelligence, having some systems and strategies, and really being able to go out there and work that muscle of working with people and seeing difficult situations, or because it's one thing to organize your own space and another thing to go organize somebody else's space. Because I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too, in this industry that are like, I love to organize. I'm super organized in my own life. But then going into organize somebody else's space is totally different, because you can only work at the speed that they're ready to go.
Right.
And that requires a different skill set than just coming in there making your own decisions. And, there's no theoretical work. There's no podcast that can replace that hands-on experience of living that and learning how to work with people.
And after you work with so many different types of people, you realize, because, I mean, do you feel like this when you first started out, you were working with, you know, a handful of people, and they might be similar in personality. And as you went further and further into your career, you realized you had to handle all different types of, you know, there's so many inner reasons why clutter is affecting that person. So there's a lot of psychology behind it.
Yeah. Yes.
And then there's also, have you ever had a day where you're like, I should have been a marriage counselor on top of a professional organizer?
Oh my gosh. It's like, I tell people like all the time, like, I'm not a psychologist. I play one on TV. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not. Yes, exactly. A General Hospital. But yes, there are so many things. It's really because, again, clutter is the symptom. It is the result of something else. It is not the root cause. So that pile of paper, those dishes in the sink, the overflowing laundry, all of this is a byproduct, right? Clutter, like, people think, you know, clutter is the enemy, but it's like, what brought us here? What is the situation that's brought us here? And that's how we can start to like look at changing some behaviors and, you know, kind of moving into some like healthier habits to get us to live the life that we were meant to live, or and that we want to live, and all those things. But, you know, it's easy to blame the dishes, right? It's easy to blame it, but what brought that there?
It's also easy to blame your husband and your children.
Totally, 100%. Yes.
Well, okay, so let's do, this is something that you're going to be teaching me today, which I'm excited about. So you know a lot about how the Enneagram and clutter mesh together those two worlds. And I cannot wait to for you to teach us all how this is married and how like how we can dissect this a little bit more.
Okay. All right. So I am going to try to make this like, you know, Enneagram for dummies, so to speak. And I mean that with no disrespect. Like I'm going to just dumb it down and make it super broad stroke generalization, assuming that people don't really know what the Enneagram is, right? And if you do, it'll be a little bit of a refresher, but we're going to just talk about it in broad stroke. So in a nutshell, the Enneagram is a personality typology that talks about your motivation, basically the why you do what you do. So if you talk about personality typologies, people might be familiar with Myers-Briggs or DISC or StrengthFinders or Gretchen Rubin's The Four Tendencies, like all of these indicators that tell the type of personality that you have. And I've always been somewhat of a personality junkie. In my past life, I was an executive recruiter. And so I always was interested in what motivated people for job change, right? Was it travel? Was it not travel? Was it, you know, more money? Was it more time with your family? Like what were the motivating drivers? And so I've always been fascinated with all of these types of indicators. And they really just for me are something that gives you context. It's not like this is like, we're not putting the stamp like this is who you are. You're done. Hands up, you know, wash them. But it just gives you some sort of context to like, this is kind of the way I see the world. And this is what is driving me. So the Enneagram, like I said, has 9 different types, but what differentiates the Enneagram from other personality typologies is it looks at the why. And as I said earlier, why has always been the core driver for what I'm like. Why are we here with clutter? Why? What is holding us back from getting rid of the things? What is holding us back from saying no? What is the why? So when I was introduced to the Enneagram, I had this like little mini light bulb moment of like, okay, well, here's something that looks at the why. Cause so many people are trying to do the tactical, the like, what are the steps? Tell me to do A, B, and C, and I'm going to do them. But you look at that and you could have, you know, this, you could have 10 different clients, give them all the same instructions. Some of them, they're going to do it. Other ones are going to be resistant. Other ones are going to flop. It's going to be, they're going to white knuckle their way through. So why is it that some things work for some people and don't work for another? And so I began down this crazy research rabbit hole for like 5 years, really, really studying the Enneagram and what it looks at. And what I've come to take away, and there's a lot of work around the Enneagram, but really in a nutshell, how I feel like it relates to the work that we do can be simplified in this 3 separate areas. So we all make decisions 3 ways, either thinking with our heads from an analytical perspective, either emotionally from our heart, from like, this is how I feel, very feeling dominant, or from our gut, very intuition based. So most people can automatically say, yeah, that's me. Like not everybody, but most people will know, yes, I make a decision. Like I know as soon as I heard that, like without using the word Enneagram or know anything else, I'm like, I'm somebody that makes decisions from my gut. Like I'm a gut person. And I know that my, like I have friends of mine that like everything is emotion. And then you've got other people that are like, no, I have to analyze it. I have to research it. I will not make a decision until I have all of my facts. So again, like, just like our clutter, nothing is linear. They all are intertwined. Like we all have each one of those 3 centers that we use, but everyone has a dominant center. And so I started going down this like hypothesis of saying, well, I wonder what the correlation is from our dominant center. Like are people that are feeling dominant, do they struggle more with emotional clutter? Where do they get bottlenecked? Are people that are overly analytical, where do they get bottlenecked? What is the pitfall for the people that are just gut driven? Where does that cause conflict? Because so much about clutter is it really is about the conflict it's causing, whether that's an inner conflict or it's an outer conflict with your spouse, your kids, whatever it is, it's conflict that it's causing in your life. And so I started again saying, okay, well, maybe if I understand a little bit about how we can try to balance, for lack of a better word, and use all 3 of those centers, the thinking, the feeling, the doing, how can we use all of them collectively and say, okay, if I know for me as a gut-driven person, I'm like, that's crap, get rid of it. But but my daughter, who's very feeling dominant, is like, whoa, pump the brakes. This has feelings. I need to go down this emotional road of, you know, this is the concert I wore this t-shirt to, and I remember this. And I'm just like, come on, let's get on with it, sister. And that causes conflict, because if I'm not understanding that about her, it causes a rift in our communication style. So the more I can then say, okay, I understand this is who you are, I'm not going to change that. How do we lean into that and say, I'm going to give you a little bit more margin. So maybe something for me that would take 5 minutes is going to take you 20. Mm-hmm. And knowing I need to adapt and change the way I'm approaching this. And this is also true if you have any professional organizers out there that are listening. This is also a great tool for you to be able to use to be able to connect with your people, because you have people that might be like, oh, I can't do this because X, Y, and Z, or you know that they're slowed down. And the more that you can understand it, you can then temper or tailor your strategy with them. So does that make sense? I don't know if what I just said
makes sense. Yeah, I think it makes really good sense. And I think it's fascinating. Do you have a lot of your clients do the Enneagram before you work with them?
It's funny. I can tell you right now, I've had like two do it, like hardly any, none. It's funny because where we live, like, it's not as mainstream as it is in some other kind of geographic pockets.
Yeah.
And so not everybody knows it. And that's the beauty. Like, you don't have to know the Enneagram, and anybody that asks me about it, I'm happy to go into it. And again, really there's nine different main types, and each type has its own unique nuances. And that in and of itself is like a whole other, like lecture workshop, if you will.
Yeah.
And I love talking about that, but really what I found the secret sauce is looking at those three main centers, right? Cause it doesn't matter if you're a one known as a perfectionist, or you're an eight known as a challenger, like that's all great. Like, I think it's great to have that insight, but it's still what is holding you back from making the progress that you want. And so understanding about who you are is great, but also understanding, because we're relational people and very few of us are completely siloed, whether it's you have a roommate, even if you're single, even if you're not married and you don't have kids at home, you have a roommate, you've got coworkers, you've got other people that you have accountability to. And so this will show up in multiple places of your life, not just the dishes and the clothes. It shows up in how quickly you turn in that presentation and your attention to detail with certain things or whatever it is. And so you look at all of these things, and clutter is not just the stuff.
Yes. It's so funny because my daughter lives in a place that we own in Florida, and I usually have different roommates come from her college, like that rent from us. And she has to say to them, listen, I struggle with OCD. Like, she really does struggle with it. And we will, I'll say, you have to tell, someone, when we're doing interviews, you have to talk to these girls and tell them that that's something that you deal with, because they need to know. And she'll say that. And I don't think they really understand until they live with her. And if they leave the dishes in the sink for too long, like, she wants to crawl out of her skin. And it's that roommate thing. And I said to her, it doesn't matter who you live with. I mean, someday when you have a spouse, when you have children, this is going to affect living situations for the rest of your life, because it's just something that might make you different from somebody else that lives in your home.
And can I take it a step further? Can I interject? So I love that you use this example. I'm sorry that she struggles with it, but I totally get it. So one of the things that I've been working on is really even taking that a step further. So yes, and I'm a big fan of, like, my younger daughter has a lot of issues with like ADHD, and she struggled with OCD. And so I get it. And I think advocating for yourself is really important. I think taking it to another step, especially when you're living with somebody, right? You don't have to do this to everybody on the street, but if you're going to be like cohabitating with somebody, saying that you have OCD is also a broad stroke thing, right? That can conjure up a lot of different, you know, for some people that might think, oh, she's got to lock the door 75 times, or she's got to, you know, whatever it is. To say, so in my world, what that means is if there are dishes in the sink, it actually gives me a visceral reaction. Like, it actually causes my heart to beat faster. It actually causes stress. So to help minimize that, it's really helpful if when you're done with the dish, you just put it right in the dishwasher, because that is. So I love that she talks about it, but really painting the picture, because I think that's so important, with especially when I talk to parents and kids about the disconnect with, you know, I use the example, my mom said to go clean my room, and the kid goes up there and they just like shove everything in drawers and underneath the bed. And in their mind, it's clean because you're not seeing the floor. I mean, you can see the floor, but the parent is like, no, I really wanted you to put your clothes in the hamper, put your toys away. And so what the picture of what cleaning your room look like is very different. And I see the same thing with spouses, where one partner is like, I need you to help me. And they're like, okay, so in their mind, help means I'm going to take the kids out for the afternoon, or help means I'm going to stay out of your way, or whatever that looks like. And really what the other partner meant was like, no, I want you to run the vacuum. Like, I want you to pick your crap up and put it in the hand. Like, I don't want to pick up after. And so a lot of times people are like, I told them, right? So in like your daughter's case, you'd be like, I told them I have OCD, and they still left the dishes in the sink. Yep. And yes, but not everybody knows what that means. What does OCD mean? So to say, and then it's like, okay, then if you said, you know what, it really causes me a physical, like my heart starts to race. I start to get like anxious thoughts, and then they are still disrespectful. That's a different issue. But a lot of times people don't do what we want them to do because they truly don't understand.
Right. Which comes to, you know, the communication aspect of this and being very clear, because they are not mind readers. And if you don't live with something like OCD, you have no idea what it can do.
And, no. You know, and other people's benchmarks for what a clean house is or what an organized house is very different. I guarantee you, your kids, like my kids, have a very different benchmark of what an organized house is than yeah. than their roommates.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about communication. How, yeah. You know, how can we be effective communicators so that our living situation is beneficial for all parties?
Yeah. So I think, and you guys, I know a lot of your audience is faith-based, and I think really there's a common through line of grace. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for all of us, present company included, to fly off the handle, point fingers, and name blame. The more I've done this, like the deeper I've gone studying a lot of this, I really have grace. Again, it doesn't give an excuse. And I want to be very clear about this. If you are somebody who is struggling with OCD or feeling dominance, and that is, it doesn't give you an excuse to have a lot of clutter, or it doesn't give you an excuse to be overly controlling so that your roommates don't, right? But right. It gives you context. Right. And I think that's what's really important, because a lot of times we only have the context. We see the world through the way that we see it, through our own lens, and understanding that there are multiple ways, and that other people, what I call, like some people are what I call clutter blind. Like they legit can just walk past it and it not see them. And I'm like, how can you not see like that half eaten piece of toast with crumbs on the counter? Like, how is that not stressing you out? And they're like, it's just not. So grace is really important. And I try to lead with that.
Right.
Second of all, I think being specific, and that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, being very specific in your language, because there are things that we just assume and we take for granted because it's either something that has been in our shared experience in our own home nuclear families, but now as you enter and you move about the cabin in real life, you're going to be dealing with different types of people who have had different experiences. So being very specific of kind of your goals and expectations and what that looks like, and the impact, kind of the why, is really important.
Yeah.
And then also for people that don't know what to do, like when it comes to the decluttering and using that communication is really important because it gives you that roadmap. So you say, you know, well, okay, I want to clean or I want to declutter this space. how do I do it? What are the actual tactical steps that I do? And so being very, again, going back to that specific, but using language to communicate, okay, so here's how I would do this. I would take everything out and I would group like items together. And then I would determine how many of them, whatever volume, you know, or whatever you're doing. I think using communication, your verbal communication, to be able to give that direction to people that might not otherwise have it is really important.
Absolutely.
So grace, be specific, and then give those tactical, like, step-by-step.
Which isn't that great great tips for communication on any level?
Yes.
Not just
yes.
for this topic.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. I think that is so great. It's so funny too. When you see, I notice a similarity in a lot of marriages where the one person, they're raised differently, but they don't really see, they don't take that into consideration that they were raised in two completely different environments. And now you're trying to merge one. So they want the other person to be like them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh, and God.
So, yeah. So you really need to think about these tips when it comes to a spouse, a roommate, children, because everybody has not only their own history, but their own perspective. And
absolutely.
So, you know, it is really, really good to just be open and honest. Even if you know, with, like, back to my daughter, she said, I feel so, like, awkward saying this really bothers me. And I said, why? You know, because everybody has their thing. You just have to be honest. And if you come from a place of kindness and you're just explaining how you would like the environment to be for yourself, then it's like, how can anybody be angry at that? You know, when you're just being kind.
And I get it. Right. And again, we sit here as, you know, middle-aged people that have been through this and have life experiences. Yeah, and I get it. It is vulnerable, right? You're putting yourself out there. You're being vulnerable. You're showing something. And, you know, I've always come from a place of authenticity, and it's one of my core values. And it's something that's really, you know, it comes very organically to me, but for a lot of people that's a struggle. And I think that, you know, that's something that is, it's a muscle that needs to be worked, you know? And it's funny because we just did, as you were talking, I was just thinking, we just released an episode on our show about blended families and the nuances that come in, especially how important communication is with that. Because you talk, like you were just saying, how when you have a marriage and you have people that come from, like, two different, like, lived experiences, and their communication styles might be different, and their habits are different.
Right.
You know, especially if you are blending families where you've got one parent has this expectation, another household has this different expectation, like, how do you navigate that? And it's always going to be something. There's always going to be some sort of conversation, but not every conversation has to be a conflict. And I think that's really important. And there are people that really are those conflict avoidant people. And that is a specific personality type. And you can still have a voice without it having to be confrontational.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this has been so fun. And
so fun.
We're going to be meeting again soon on your show, so we can have more.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we absolutely are. We'll continue the conversation and talk about all things that you've got going on. So, super excited.
If you are listening today and you want to get in touch with Lori, tell them how they can find you.
Yeah. So the best place to go is my website, which is the hub for everything. It's simply the letter B, like boy, organized.com. From there, you can get the podcast, the book, all of our free resources, all the things. I also coach and mentor organizers, so you can find about my work there. And my podcast, I just flung a pen, is This Organized Life. So it's This Organized Life. We're on YouTube and we're on every podcast platform. So if you're listening to this show, hop on over and, like, click the follow button on ours. Cause
heck yeah. Everybody do it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Lori. It's always fun to chat with you. And I hope the listeners got a lot out of this. If this was helpful, please leave us a comment or a review. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, make room for what's important. Hey, friend. Thank you so much for listening today. Guess what? I am now offering my masterclass, Create an Organized and Purposeful Life, for free. All you have to do is go to the show notes below and click the link. In it, I will teach you my 5 core principles for organizing your home and your life, action steps you can start taking today, and time management that actually works. All you have to do is click that link in the show notes, and you will be on your way to getting your home and your life organized so that you can start living with more purpose and less overwhelm.